Take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. In Isaiah chapter number 9, we are going to see five names that are mentioned here, the names of the Messiah. Sam just went through a whole bunch of them. There are many, many names of Messiah. But in Isaiah chapter 9, we see five that are mentioned here, and I want to touch on those with you this morning and share with you. You know, prophecy is so important, and what Isaiah was saying is he's saying, this is what the Messiah is going to be, and these are his names. And, you know, a person's name, oftentimes in the Old Testament and in the Bible days, people would choose names based on character and based on their family, things like that. And so names were very, very important because they showed a person's character. They would show attributes and things such as that. Well, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, I want us to go, and I want you to remember something. This is 700 years before Christ was born. This is 700 years before he was born in the manger. Now, look what Isaiah said. He said, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called," and here they are, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These are all names of the Messiah. They are important, and they speak of his character. They speak of who he was and what he was going to do. In Philippians chapter 2, very interesting verse, but in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, they say this. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. So every person that has ever lived or ever will live, one day will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And that is powerful. Well, let's look at some of these names this morning. Now, I spoke on a few weeks ago before the ice storm came in, but I want to touch on these again. First of all, his name is Wonderful. It says his name is Wonderful. Well, what is wonderful? Wonderful means that it is exciting, that it is distinguished, that it is marvelous, that it is exceptional, or it is outside human explanation. We cannot explain how wonderful. We cannot explain this Messiah. In Psalm 40 and verse number 5, the Bible tells us, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Psalm 105 and verse number 5, he says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders. So we see all of these things, the wonders that have happened through Messiah, through Christ. In Daniel chapter 4, verse number 2, he says, I thought it good to declare what? To declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. Verse number 3, how great are his signs. Think about it. The Red Sea. What about the pillar of fire that led them by night and the pillar of cloud that led them through the wilderness by day? What about all of the things that God had done for them in the wilderness? How their shoes, their sandals did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. God provided them food to eat. He gave them manna. He gave them the quail. He gave them water from the rock. God was wonderful. He was beyond description of all that he had done. He had fed and clothed them. He had delivered them from their enemies. And then Christ came and he was born of a virgin in a manger. The wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, that's what it means when Isaiah says his name is wonderful. It is beyond anything that we could describe. And remember, I shared with you, we in our culture, we have become, if you would, desensitized to things that are extraordinary, things that are wonderful, because we see science and television and technology is developing so quickly and so rapidly that it is hard for us to even understand or appreciate wonder the way that we ought to. All that God has done is a wonder. All that God has done for you and for me, it is a wonder. He has been so good to us. He has been so gracious to us. He has given us way more than we ever deserve. He has watched over us. He has blessed us. All God is doing in your life and in my life, it is a wonder. And Messiah's name is wonderful. All God is doing, He does all of those things, and it is with a great wonder. Look at the second name, the second thing that he is called. His name is also Counselor. Well, life, we all know that life is very difficult and it can be tough. And it's full of problems and it is filled with worries and concerns. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said this. Look at the world and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Well, that's not very good, is it? And look at Christ and be at rest. Wow, isn't that something? I was reading about something last night, and I didn't have a picture of it, but I didn't get it to him. But there's something called a whelk, and it's a little snail type of thing that lives in the ocean, in the shallow ocean. And this whelk, there's different kinds of them, but it looks like a kind of looks like a seashell, but he has a long pointy head on it, and he has two things that come out that are eyes, and then he has a thing, I think they call it a proboscis, it's purple, and it's inside of his mouth, and it comes out, and it's got little sharp teeth on it, He is dreaded by an oyster because he will go and he will get on an oyster and he can literally take that little proboscis and he will drill into the oyster and he will actually suck the oyster out. He will get him from the inside out. And you know, sometimes all our circumstances in life, they can be like a whelk, can't they? Sometimes people can be like a whelk, can't they? They come along and boy, they just suck all the joy out. They just take everything away. But the Bible says here, his name is Counselor. His name is Counselor. He is able to counsel us. He is able to encourage us. Where do we get our counsel? Who do we go and seek our counsel from or our advice from? In Hebrews 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin." James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he says, ask of God. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says that we're to cast all our care upon him, that is upon Messiah, upon the Counselor. Why? For he cares for you. Look at the third name. It's kind of an interesting name, but his name is Mighty God. It's El Gibor in the Hebrew, and it means mighty warrior. Well, we think of that the Messiah, he's called Mighty Warrior. And we look at our war-torn culture, our war-torn world, countries at war all over the place. I was doing a little research yesterday, and they're really, in the past 4,000 years, they estimate that there's probably only been about 268 years of peace out of all of that time. There's been over 300 wars of some kind in Europe in the last 300 years. So we're in a war-torn world. There is no peace. We watch the news and we see all that's happening in Syria. We watch all the news and see the events that are taking place in Egypt and other parts around the world. There is war everywhere. And so why is it that God would call His Son? Why is it that one of Messiah's names would be El Gabor, Mighty God, or Mighty Warrior? Why do we want to call Him that? We don't like to think of God as a warrior. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 7, speaking of Christ being born in the manger, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. A mighty God, a mighty warrior. If God is a mighty warrior, then doesn't it seem strange that He would be born in a manger? You see this prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, this title, Mighty Warrior, Mighty God. Many of the Jews, they stumble over that title because that's how they expected Messiah to come. And yet Messiah came that first Christmas morning in Luke 2:7. He came born in a manger. But you see, why is He called Mighty God? He's called Mighty God because by coming in the form that He did and enrobing Himself in human flesh, He was able to defeat sin. He was able to defeat death. He was able to defeat hell. He was able to defeat the grave. He was able to defeat all of these things, and Christmas is a reminder of God's mighty power, that He is powerful, that He can do all that He sets forth to do. He is a mighty warrior on our behalf as we battle in the battle with sin and in the battle with all of the events and things that take place in this life, yet we are more than conquerors in Him. Someone said, you know, God can calm the storms around you. He can calm the storms around you and I, but oftentimes, what does He do? Oftentimes, God chooses to calm the storm within you. Not the ones around you, but the ones within you. There's a story that is told of some folks that were traveling on a ship. And it was in the middle of a terrible, very rough storm. The ship was really rocking around. Things were sliding across the deck, and it was just it was terrible. And the people were down below the deck, and they were terrified, and they were hanging on, and they were crying, and they were wailing, and they were scared that the ship was going to wreck. And one of the passengers below, He was so determined to figure out what's happening, what's the captain doing, and are we going to be okay? And he made his way up the stairs and bouncing around and sliding across the deck, he made his way to the captain. And he saw the captain there steering the ship and doing all that he could to keep the ship aright and to keep him going in the right direction. And the captain looked over and he saw this passenger come up and approach him. And he hollers, "Are we going to be okay?" To the captain. He's yelling to the captain. And the captain, just steering the ship, he just looked at him and smiled. So the passenger goes back down below the deck. And he tells the folks down there, "We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Because I saw the captain, and He smiled at me." You see, God is a mighty God. And in the middle of the storms of life, whatever they may be, He is a mighty warrior on your behalf. And He will look on you and He will smile at you because it is all under control. He knows exactly what is happening. He is a mighty God. Look at another title. He's also the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Father. Well, what does that mean, that He's the everlasting Father? It actually means this. The better way to say this is that He is the Father of eternity. He's the Father of eternity. We are tied to time. I had a clip for last week, and we don't have it today. I'm not going to show it to you. But how many of you remember Gene Wilder or the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Do you remember that? One of the lines in there, I remembered this. It's one of the ones I don't remember movies very well, but I do remember this. He's showing Charlie and his grandpa around and so forth and the others, and he finally says to them, "Come on now, we have too little to do and too much time." And strike that, reverse it. Or no, we have too much time and too little to do. I even got it reversed. We are tied to time. Jesus, He's the Father of eternity. In Matthew 28 and verse number 20, He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. He's not bound by time. Time is not something that constricts Him or holds Him back. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And eternal life is available through Him to all who will believe. Here's the one that I really wanted to focus on Christmas, and it's the fifth one. The Prince of Peace. We are in a war-torn world. There are wars and rumors of wars all around us. There is no peace. There is absolutely no peace in the world that we live in. And yet it says that He is the Prince of Peace. You see what a prince is? A prince is someone who is going to be king. He's in line to become king. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the fulfillment of the prophecy. He is fulfilling in this what He has done as a Messiah. He is fulfilling and will fulfill it. The prophecy about David and his throne, which we see back in the book of Samuel, it says that a descendant of David will reign and rule on the throne for all eternity, forever. And that's who Jesus is. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince, and He is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will rule and He will reign. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let me share a story with you as we finish. There was a contest one time about peace and tranquility. What does it mean and what does it look like? So this gentleman decided that he would have a contest to show what peace is and what it looks like. And so he made an announcement and he said, "We're going to have folks paint a painting. And they're all going to submit them, and we are going to choose the one that best shows peace and tranquility." And so they had paintings that came in from all over the world, near and far. They came in all over the place, and they gathered in this gallery, and they had chosen the painting, two of them actually. And they were going to unveil them. The crowd filled the gallery as they began to look. The gentleman that had started the contest, he first of all, he unveiled one of the pictures. And when he did, the crowd just went hush. I mean, they were in awe by this painting. And the painting was a beautiful lake that was just like a mirror of glass. It was just smooth, reflecting the sky. There was green pasture around it, beautiful trees, and a little flock of sheep along the side. And that was that person's thought of peace. He said, "But this is not the one that we have selected." So he went and he uncovered another painting. When he uncovered the other painting, there was a tree. And this tree was on the edge of a waterfall. Branches kind of dangling out over the waterfall. The sky was gray with rain and storm and all kinds of things going on and wind. And the picture of the tree overhanging the waterfall was very, very powerful. But up in the branch of the tree, just there in the elbow of one of the branches that was kind of leaning over the waterfall, was a nest. And inside that nest was a little bird, and that little bird was sitting on her eggs, and she was just as content and just as calm as ever. And the gentleman said, "This is the real painting of peace. Because even in the midst of the storm, even in the middle of all of these things happening and going on around, this bird is content, he's calm, and there he is, right there. There she is, sitting in her nest." How can we do that? When we see the world spinning as seemingly out of control, we see all of these things happening, and we can look at Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, and this is just five names: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. One day, when the Lord returns, He is going to establish His kingdom, His place, and there will be peace. And He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will rule according to righteousness. And church, listen to me. That's what really Christmas is about. It is a reminder. It is a reminder of who we serve. It is a reminder of our Savior. It is a reminder of, yes, this world seems out of control. Yes, this world has many, many problems. But the truth of the matter is, if you know the Prince of Peace, if you know the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, you know the Wonderful Counselor in Christ, then you can have peace. My prayer for you and Christmas season is that if you know Him, you're a believer, you know Christ, you know He's your Savior, what a powerful thing that is, that you can trust in Him, that you can lean on Him. Even though you're out there hanging over the waterfall, it seems like He's got it under control. He's watching out for you. Nothing's going to happen to you that He does not know about, and He will not take you through. That's what Christmas is. It's a reminder of the peace that God can give to the soul that is troubled by all of the things that are happening around it. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, and I know that Christmas is a time, it's a busy time. Very, very busy. So many things to do. So much happening. I praise the Lord that this morning you have taken that time to come and to be in His house, to recognize Him, to at least honor Him. You know, this morning there may be some that I know that probably every person in here, in one degree or another, there's turmoils, there's troubles, there's some tumultuous seas, you might say, in your life that are concerning, they're troubling. But I want to encourage you today that Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that can calm those storms. And even if he doesn't calm the storm, he can calm you, his child. This morning, I want to encourage you that as you reflect on Christmas and the birth of Christ, would you truly ask yourself, do I know the Lord Jesus? Is he my Lord and my Savior? And if he is, then am I doing all that I should and could to live for him? And maybe you're here this morning and you're here and you really never really contemplated Christ as your Savior. My friend, I want to encourage you and I want to help you. Life is certainly, it's uncertain and it is brief. And death is really sure. And this life that we have right now, it is our opportunity to prepare for the life to come. Just this past week, I buried a 50-year-old man who was at home sleeping on his couch and never woke up. 50 years old. That's not very old. We have no guarantee. And so the question is, do you know the Prince of Peace? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? My friend, I cannot think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than to accept the real meaning of Christmas. When we look back at the manger, and we look back and see that God sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, why wouldn't we accept that gift? Why wouldn't we accept the Prince of Peace into our life? That he might sustain us, that he might help us, that he might guide and direct us. Father, as we come before you today, I pray this morning, I pray for each and every person that is here. Lord, many are going through trials and difficulties and testings. Father, I pray that you would show yourself strong, that, Lord, you would be their counselor, that you would, Lord, just show your wonders and your works and all that you do. Lord, I pray that you would show your power, that you are a mighty God. That, Lord, you are watching out for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that you are the Father of eternity. Lord, all things, Lord, are under your control. Lord, you are eternally watching out for us. And Father, today we pray that if we have not called on the Prince of Peace to be our Lord and Savior, that today might be the day that we would do that. And Lord, today, for those that may be struggling with turmoil and rough seas, Lord, I pray that they would realize that Jesus Christ can bring the peace that they're searching for. Lord, bless this time now. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.